Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat and John, and soon will be joining us is Steve from In the Harvest Field, a story about the glory of God. You want to stay tuned, lean close to your iPhone, your iPad, your stereo, your radio, your TV, however you're listening to VFN Radio today, because the glory of God, God is alive and His glory is manifesting, and we're seeing signs and wonders. He said, these signs will follow those that believe, and in a little while you're going to have here live what happened just last night on the Emerald Coast as God was, I can't wait to tell you how a man was healed last night in the Emerald Coast. But first, you know, I just want to say, wow. America, how we got here and how we stay here. I do want to say that that was my first attempt to explain a prophetic word that the Lord gave me, and I did my best in getting it out. But I'm telling you, if you just listen to the content and what's being said, you'll understand everything makes sense. Everything totally makes sense because in the context of that, what Israel left behind, remember this, what Israel left behind when they said, God, we no longer want your form of government. We want a king like everyone else. And they said, and so all of a sudden God, you know, Samuel goes and he's upset, and Samuel is the prophet. He, you know, he's the apostolic prophet that's there that's leading God's people, and which means God's speaking to him and he's just sharing what God is saying to the people, and people are falling. Up to that point, that's how it was. And then, so he's upset. He's going like, my goodness, they're rejecting my leadership and da-da-da-da. And God goes, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. Give them what they want. And so he goes back to the people of Israel, God's chosen people, and he prophesies to them. And he tells them everything that God has done under his form of leadership and his form of government. You know, being led into through the wilderness, being set free from captivity, you know, manna and parting of the Red Sea and all the things that he had done. And at the very end of it, they still had one more moment in time where they could have said, I don't know what we were thinking. I don't know what got into us. We obviously are walking darkness right now. I think that we want to leave you, God, and your form of government. And they could have said, God, please forgive us. We turn back to you. We don't want a king like everyone else. But instead, they said what? Give us a king. They still said, give us a king, because they wanted socialism. No, they wanted government to meet their needs, because they could tangibly see in their own brain. And I am so tired of believers trying to find God in our finite minds. Listen, we're not that smart. Understand, God created every brain that ever was, ever is, and ever exists. And your brain is only part of that, and you're only using 10% of it, reportedly. So hang it up. It's not going to fit in your brain. It's called faith in your heart. And so they went with their brain and their thought, and they did what was right in their own mind, and they went for a king. And so God gave them Saul, but that's how the king started in the context of that, because God's people, they left his form of government, one nation under God. Israel was one nation under God now. And you can hear more about the details of this transition, because today it's the same thing, a tale of two kings, SOS. SOS is this emergency signal being tapped out, tut, tut, tut. We might even have that emergency signal. But it's just tapping it out, tapping it out, tapping it out. And that's what's happening right now. What you've been hearing on VFN radio and throughout the nation is this tapping out of the SOS emergency signal that's been going on. In the context of that, we can respond and say, you know, SOS means send me help. You know, send me revelation. And God's been speaking. It's a tale between two kings, King Jesus and King Saul, men's form of government. And in the context of that, we can still choose God. We can choose Jesus as our king. They were one nation under God. Think about it. One nation under God, and they gave it up. Israel gave it up. We look back, and we teach on it, and the church talks about it. We think, how in the world would they ever do that? Well, guess what? They declared their dependency on a king that day. But on July 4th, 1776, our founding fathers declared our independency from a king, King George III. Why? Because they found this God. The Bible, as we talked about, was translated into a language they could understand, and they met the God of the Bible. And they said, wait a minute. We can live as free men if we have God over us. Remember now, Israel said, we're not satisfied with God over us, one nation under God. We want a king over us. Mm. This is how significant America is. And I'm just finding out myself, because I'm willing to throw away anything that's not God, God's done with it or whatever. I mean, I'm ready to move on. But understanding what happened with our founding fathers and why it's been such a blessed nation is we walked out back into what Israel walked out of. Because remember, Israel was scattered all over the face of the earth when America became a nation. When they signed the Declaration of Independence, they said, we hold these truths self-evident and all the things we talked about that you just heard, that we have to declare our independence from a king. And some people say, that's rebellion. No, the true rebellion was when Israel said, we declare our independence from you, God, and we want a king. And we've been under kings and queens so long in tyrannical governments and these supposed supreme leaders that all of a sudden we get back to normal. We don't know how to handle it. In a few years, we start talking about the concept of going back under a king again. Mm. One nation under God, indivisible, and liberty for all. That's why we have to keep this fire burning. It's not America. It's the God over America. We need to repent and to say, like Israel, they could have done it that one moment. They could have said, I hear the prophet Samuel. I hear what's being said. And God, we want to be under you. We don't want to be under a king. We don't want to be under tyrannical leadership. We understand it. You're tapping out a message. You're tapping out a message. You're tapping out a message. SOS, SOS, which is a save our ship. Save our ship is what that means. And it's just this Morse code tapping out sound. And just, you can just hear it tapping in your spirit. That's what the Lord's saying. He's responding to us with this prophetic word. But we still have to make the decision. We can't end this with saying, yeah, but I want a king. I want to be like Great Britain. I want to be like this government. I want to be like the government. I want to be one nation under God. And how did that come to pass? It came to pass when the word of God was freed from religious captivity and translated into a language that men could understand it. When they read the living, active word of God, it divided all the lies from all the truth, and men were able to meet this God and abide with God, and all of a sudden the fruit of abiding with Jesus Christ was the United States of America, was the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the only way America works, the only way it works, is being one nation under God. What came of it? Well, let me tell you what came of it. Israel came of it because we helped, God used us to facilitate by his spirit, by his mercy, by his grace, by a president who was raised on his mama's knees, being taught the word of God that was translated. After he removed a president that wasn't going to allow it to happen, 2 weeks after he signed a document with Jordan saying that it wouldn't happen, that he said he signed the paperwork for Israel to be a democracy, one nation under God. Mm. And today, Israel's not under a king. Israel is a government by the people and for the people. And the only way that they can exist, is one nation under God. And read about it. They will exist, and God will protect them, and they will stand till the end. The question is, are we going to give up one nation under God? Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, I was with you. I was like, okay, hey, you know, what is this Americanism stuff? What's all that kind of? And then I found out God spoke to me. He gave me that word. It's like we went back into what Israel came out of, and God used us to facilitate bringing Israel in. That's why we're in this relationship with Israel, because we've partnered through this. They helped fund our Revolutionary War. Hmm. You know, all these, so many things. You know, we had a place of refuge. Half the Jews on the face of the earth are in this nation of America under God. Listen, God is in this. We need to humble ourselves. Pray, turn from our wicked ways, and realize it's not about all this other stuff. It's about God who loves us and has a plan for our life. Begin to abide with him again. Accept his form of government. Trust him to provide for us. And we do that by beginning to offer our first fruits to him, offer our life to him, abide and read the word that people gave their life for us to be able to read, And it's so powerful that even the unction of the power of God's word caused a president to remember the words his mother taught him from the scriptures. They said, "This is good. Those who bless Israel, I will bless." And he said, "I'm going to sign it."
Mm.
And he signed it. He signed Israel become a nation.
Harry Truman.
That's exactly
powerful, it. Powerful president.
Taught the word of God. But understand, he would not have known it if it would not have been for Tyndale and Wycliffe who translated it. And all this connects. And we are part of, if we understand where we came from and get back to the place that we were, then we can truly be that city on the hill. We can be that one nation under God again. These are exciting, exciting days. You know that when Jesus gave us the Great Commission, he told us, he says, listen, he says, I'm going to go be with the Father. I want you to go. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Tell them about me. And when you tell them the good news of the kingdom, I will work with you, confirming my word with signs and wonders and miracles and healings. And we just call them, you know, it's about the manifestation of the glory of God. When God turns water into wine, that's the manifestation of his glory. When he heals someone, when he answers your prayer, when he provides that car for you, that's the glory of God. That's why we say all the glory be to God. That's why we're in the book of Revelation. They said, you're worthy of all the glory because it's him that's doing this. All good gifts come from the Father above. Well, I have with me right now on the line, Steve. And Steve was just out last night at work, just lover of God, out just telling people about the love of God when he's at work. And, man, tell us what happened, Steve. Tell us what happened.
Oh, my goodness. I was actually closing up and finishing up work and about to take the trash out. And where I work, there's a lot of different people that you don't see on a daily basis. And there was this guy hobbling. He was limping pretty bad. And I was walking ahead of him, and God just said, talk to him. So I turned around, and I just introduced myself. I said, hey, man, how you doing? And found out he worked there. And I asked him, I said, well, what'd you do to your leg? And he says, no, I hurt it. You know, it did something to my ankle. And I just started just telling him about God, how God has been healing people in our midst and being able to pray for somebody over this weekend about their back and just sharing his glory. And I asked him,
you were sharing him about things that God had done, the glory that God had manifested.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. And his name was Jalen. And I said, well, hey, bro, I said, you know, can I pray for you? And he's just like, well, you know, man, he's like, I believe in God, but, you know, I don't go overboard and pray. And I said, that's cool. And I said, well, you know, what's going on? And he said he wanted to know God more. And I was like, all right, cool. And I said, well, you know, can I pray for you? I won't pray for your ankle, but, you know, can I just, you know, pray for you? And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, I'm cool with that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to put my arm around him and just pray for him. And I just stopped and, you know, I just acknowledged God. And I just said, Jesus, I just thank you for this moment. And all of a sudden he was like, whoa, hey. And he backed away from me. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, like, maybe, you know, he wasn't comfortable with me putting my arm around him.
Right.
And he's like, did you just touch me? And I was like, no, man, what's up? And he goes, did you just touch my leg? I'm like, God just healed your leg, man. What? I'm like, jump around. And 5 minutes ago, he was walking so slow, hobbling. And I said, Jesus Christ just touched your leg, didn't he?
Praise God. You mean, wait a minute. You said it so fast.
I know.
You were talking real slow with all this stuff, and all of a sudden it's like the glory came and you talked fast here. Wait a minute. This man was limping.
Yeah.
And you asked if he wanted prayer, and he said he didn't, but I'm very, you know, I am religious. And long story short. And then after you're sharing with him, because God's moving, isn't he? I mean, he's just doing powerful things. I mean, the glory of God is just everywhere. And you begin to even share it with him, even this Sunday at the VFN Dream Center, how God's glory was moving and healing, all the things that are going on. Then all of a sudden you said, what now? Can I pray for you or something? What'd you do?
Right. Well, I'm sorry. As we were talking, like I said, I was sharing stories about what God had done.
Uh-huh.
And when I asked him, I said, you know, can I pray for your ankle? He said, no, man, that's cool. You know, I don't go overboard and pray. But he said, you know, but I want to know God more. And I asked him, and I said, well, can I, you know, can I pray for you that you would know God more?
So this man was hungry for more of God.
Wow.
He was hungry for more of God. He had an open heart. Isn't that beautiful?
That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Amen. And when he said that I could pray for him, just not specifically for his ankle, when I put my arm around him and all I did was just like simply acknowledge Jesus Christ and I just thanked him for the moment to simply encounter Jalen, Jalen just kind of got surprised and backed away from me and asked me, what did I just do?
Wait a minute. So then all of a sudden he felt the power of God on his body. Something happened to his legs. Like, did you touch me, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. He asked me, did you just touch me? He's like, what did you just do? What did you just do, man?
Like jerking away from you? Like, what happened?
Yeah, and I...
Isn't that awesome? That's God, man. That's the glory. That's God. Woo!
Yeah, I'm like, it's God, man. I said, God just healed your leg. I said, jump around, man. Jump around. And he started, like, moving his legs. He's like, oh, my goodness, man. And he's like, oh, my goodness. And I said, that's God, man. I said, that is Jesus Christ that just touched your leg. I said, jump around, man. Jump around. Move around.
So he starts jumping around on his leg. The very leg he couldn't walk on. Now he's jumping around on his leg.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so awesome. Wow. Thank you, Lord. That is so beautiful.
And then he asked me, he's like, man, did you just touch me? I said, no, man. I said, this is God. And he's just like, bro, he's like, this is freaking me out, man.
It's the glory of God.
Yeah. And he's like, I've seen this on TV, man. He's like, but this, I'm like, no, this is real. I said, this is God confirming to you that the Jesus Christ that I'm speaking to you out to you about is real. And he's like, whoa, man, whoa. And we just started talking more and just being able just to confirm and just share with him that this Jesus Christ who I speak to you is the one true God.
Wow.
And
that's so beautiful because he says very specifically, Jesus says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, he says, go and do what you did. You're just working. You're at your job. You see a person who is hurting.
Yeah.
And your heart, God just touched your heart to go after him and help him, encourage him, and pray for him. And that's God just moving at that point. And then he says very specific. We talked about this, matter of fact. We talked about the great expectation.
Mm-hmm.
The great expectation. And you just did what God expected from you to let him know that God loves him. And here this man was hungry for God. And you begin to share about the goodness and the glory of God, and his faith was stirred.
Mm.
You know, and because his faith was stirred, he has the faith. Remember, he told the lady, he says, there was a woman that was healed from the issue of blood. He says, your faith has made you whole. And maybe you're listening right now. Maybe you're listening right now, and you're realizing, wait a minute. If God can heal him, and God can heal John, and this is not just something you see on TV. God is real.
That's right.
Then God can heal me. And I just want to encourage you right now, if you're listening to VFN Radio, then I want you to begin to believe God right now. We're just going to speak healing over you. I don't care if it's a sickness or a disease. I don't care if it's something in your mind. I don't care if it's something in your body. Right now, let's just believe God for complete healing from you. And when you get healed, when God heals you, I want you to let us know. I want you to go to VFNTV.com. And let us know. I'm just going to release healing over you right now. I want you just to receive it, just like Jalen did, just receive healing. We're touching you right now. We're all in agreement right now that God would touch you and heal your body. We command sickness to go in Jesus' name. We command depression to go in Jesus' name. We just speak healing over your joints and your nerves and your body, and we just speak peace that passes all understanding in Jesus' name. Thank you, Steve. God bless you, man.
Amen. Bless you, guys.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It doesn't take much to set the tone for the day. In your marriage, though, it does take a little sensitivity. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and marriage expert Dr. Greg Smalley shares how your words can have a major impact on your spouse.
I heard one time a guy that his wife was, you know, they're getting ready in the bathroom, and she's looking in the mirror and just saying, gosh, she goes, honey, look at me, I'm getting older, you know, I'm looking at the weight that I've gained, and I'm just feeling really, really bad about myself. Can you say something just to pick my spirits up? And he said, well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight.
Ooh, ouch. Well, in all seriousness, little jabs like that really can destroy your spouse's day. Try a text or a phone call right now just to say, I love you and I'm praying for you. That could make all the difference. You'll find more trusted family advice at focusonthefamily.com/marriage.
You know, when I'm sitting here thinking about, the Lord, our God, that when he was with his people, we could read the word of God, and he shows us, he demonstrated his ability to provide for his people in the wilderness. The first thing he did when he delivered Israel out of bondage and slavery was to take them in a place that they had to totally see that he was going to provide for them no matter what. They were surrounded by conditions with no water and no provision, and they just had to trust God. They had to abide with God. And think about that. And God demonstrated his ability to meet their needs despite what was going on in their economy, in their ecology, with their environment, with the heat and the weather and all that. As a matter of fact, listen to Brother John Kilpatrick with Church of His Presence, and I'll be right back.
And the other day, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, tell the church, son, when you get back up to preach, he said, tell the church that these things are going to get worse. He said, but tell them, for those that will live by my word, it'll have no effect on them whatsoever. He said, it'll have no effect on them. And what the Holy Spirit is saying is, even though the economy, like what prophets are saying right now, is that there may be some states in the United States that might be not friendly toward Israel, or they might be real liberal, and they're going to start suffering financially. And there might be other states in the United States that loves Israel and loves God, and they're a God-fearing state, and they have a good governor and good legislature, and they're trying to please God, and they're just going to prosper and get all kinds of new businesses and everything. The Holy Spirit said, just as that's working like sheep states and goat states in the United States, he said the same thing's going to happen in a city, that whoever tithes and obeys me and loves me and serves me, I will pour out my favor on them and my blessings upon them. And nothing can thwart my blessings on these people. They're going to be a demonstration to everyone around them what it means to be a child of God. So I want to encourage you right now in Jesus' name, God is about to bless your socks off right under the devil's nose.
That's so encouraging. That's exactly what, you know, that God's been sharing with us. That's what we're hearing from Rick Joyner and Morningstar Ministries, and those are hearing from the Lord. Listen, don't panic. You're about to be a sign. You're about to be a wonder if you're abiding with God. Jesus said very specifically in John 15, 5 through 7, he says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, or abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Think about this. He says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Just like God provided for Israel in the wilderness, the manna that came down in the morning, the shade, and when everybody else is hot, they were covered. God's going to take care of you if you stick with God. You begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to abide with him, you want to begin to abide with him. You know Jesus, but you want to abide, learn how. We have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and request your simple plan today. Listen, if you're walking in obedience and abiding with the Lord, hearing his voice, relating to him, he's got you covered. That's iabide.org. VFM Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this. There came a day when suddenly he began to speak it, and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center, because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up, church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going, because we're about to be the church of the Bible, under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out. And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. Was that so awesome?
Yes.
What God is doing. He's doing so much, and we're so excited about being able to share with you what God. And that was last night.
Wow.
It was a couple hours ago, actually.
It was so awesome. You know, hearing about the glory of God and the healing of God. You know, that Sunday, I had excruciating pain in my lower back. Pat, you remember this. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on here?
Yeah, I remember that.
And I looked over to Steve. I said, Steve, just pray for me, man. Put your hands on me and just pray for me. And Steve, I stopped then in my tracks what I was doing, and Steve put his hands on me and started to pray for me. And it just wasn't a long prayer. And all of a sudden, I go, oh, my goodness, Steve, look, I'm healed. And I start moving around. I'm like, I'm healed. It's just the power of God. I just was present, and God touched my body. And this is what we're seeing happening. We're seeing people just get healed. We're seeing believers laying hands on the sick, and just like the Word of God says, and they shall recover. And I had no pain, no symptom at all, and I was just able to worship the Lord during that time of our gathering, pain-free. And I'm like, thank you,
the
Jesus.
The glory of God. Let me tell you something. God loves you. The enemy has convinced you that it's okay for you to walk around the rest of your life for pain or discomfort or broke, busted, and disgusted. But I got good news for you. Our God has good plans for you, plans to bless you and prosper you. And in that, understand that just turning to Him, turning to the Lord, and beginning to walk with Him every single day, understand that He's going to meet your needs.
Mm.
He is going to meet your needs. And He is a good God that has good plans in store for you. He can do all things, all these nations, all provision, everything is in His hands. Whether it's a penny need or $1 million need, it's all small to Him.
That's right. You know, yesterday I had still thinking about all that was shared on VFN Radio, and I look at my Bible, and I go, my goodness, Lord, what a precious gift. When you think about it, understand context and what's been happening through all the hundreds of years. When you think about what happened, I'm talking about the segment we shared yesterday of America, how we got here and how we stay here. And when we realized that people paid a price to have the Word of God. I mean, Wycliffe and William Tyndale really suffered tremendously in their body. They were tortured.
Many.
Those just two. Just so that the Word of God could come forth.
Strangled him to death.
Exhumed their bodies
and
burned them.
And cast their ashes, ashes on the River Swift.
They took all of Wycliffe's writings and said it was a heretic. They banned them. They burned all of his stuff. It's just amazing. And yet today, in an article by the Christian Post, the American Bible Society, they had a study they put out, and it was called The State of the Bible. And the study shows that most Americans believe society needs the Bible, but few are finding time to read it. I mean,
Come on now. It says a majority of the people in the United States believe that the Bible contains the best advice for meaningful life.
That's sort of like marching outside of a court protesting the removal of the Ten Commandments, and then some reporter putting the mic in your face and saying, no, what are the Ten Commandments?
Exactly.
Like, I don't know what they are.
Exactly.
I don't know what they are, but they're really important, I understand.
Crazy.
It's religion, by the way.
It's religion.
That's a religion. When you don't even know what the word says, but you say you got to have it, then that's a religious bondage.
Mm-hmm. One of the leaders there, the American Bible Society, says that they're not making it a priority in their life, the Word of God a priority in their life. And it's like, come on now. At what point are we going to realize what Jesus said, that we can't live outside of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God? When you have only 19% of professing Christians that actually read the Word of God, and only 3% believe that they're responsible for their own spiritual development. We've got to get back into the Word of God. We've got to get back to a place where we honor God's Word and cherish what He has, what by the Holy Spirit we have on paper.
Well, what God said, He says, you flatter me with your lips, but your heart's far from me. And the thing is that our mouth speaks from the overflow of our heart. If we can't even say what God's Word is, it means we don't have it in our heart.
Period.
And God does not accept lip service. I mean,
no.
And I'm not being rude or nothing. I'm just
being
honest.
Factual.
I'm being honest. Lip service will not get you to heaven, but it will definitely get you to the throne of God to answer, why wouldn't you give Him heart service? And that comes from abiding with the Lord. You know, it comes from, I mean, think about how many people, if you stuck a mic in their face right now, you're listening right now. Let me ask you. Name all 10 commandments. And so you'd ask them, name all the 10 commandments. Pat's thinking right now. Right. You should actually, if you don't know them, learn them. Not because you're saved by the law, but just to understand, how can we demand somebody to put something up that we ourselves don't even know? That's religion. When we're willing to look good on the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup to be totally just dark, dead man's tombs. And with the Word of God, it's like, if we were actually in the Word of God and believed the God of the Word, then we would understand. We would be like Josiah, ripping our clothes, going, we have gone way astray from what God has said. And so that's so, I mean, they're right. I really believe they're right, because which means the answer is simple. Begin to abide. Which is to spend time with God, read His Word, hide His Word in your heart, like putting it there, you can recall it again. Talk to God, listen to what He says, and do what He says.
That's it. It's not that hard. You think about what's happening in China. I mean, they're happy to have one page of the Bible. Listen, we have more than two or three Bibles in most of our homes.
They're willing to take one page of the Bible, and they go sell themselves into slavery in the Middle East to work under an Islamic household in hopes that they may lead one of them.
Wow.
One.
And we have 50 copies.
Yeah.
And we can't find time to pick them up.
All right.
Listen, it's time. I want to encourage you today to go to iabide.org and get a simple plan on how you can abide and fall in love with the book of the Lord, which is the Bible, God's love letter to you. iabide.org.
Man, I don't know if you heard about this, but this particular, it just so touched my heart. There's so many things we want to be able to share with you. But this man, he's in his 90s. His name, I'll tell you his name in just a moment. He's in his 90s. And he began, his wife had already passed to go on to be with the Lord. And so he was just sitting there just meditating on his life with her. And his name was Fred. And he just thought, man, my goodness, you know, I just really miss her. So he began to write a song called "Oh Sweet Lorraine." That was his wife's name.
Oh yeah.
And you got to hear him right now. You got to hear they had a songwriting contest to be able to, you know, who has the best song, and they were broadsided by this 96-year-old man, Fred, who just kind of scribbled it out. He had no text. He didn't have a computer. He just wrote it on the paper and melded in with a stamp and all that for freaks people out. But you got to listen. It just totally melts your heart. Listen up.
Earlier this summer, Green Shoe Studio launched its singer-songwriter contest. It's a contest that someone can upload their video onto YouTube and send us the link. We felt it was a good way that we could really tie into the local community and really get a feel for the music that's going on around here. But we didn't quite expect an entry like Fred's.
I meet Lorraine. She was a car hop at the NW Root Beer Stand in East Peoria, and she brought the trays to the car. And that was in about 1938. We dated for 2 years, then we married. 26 would have been our 73rd anniversary. She gave me 75 years of her life. Well, she was just prettiest girl I ever saw. Uh-huh. Yeah, and she was real timid like, but I just fell in love with her right there. Yeah.
What made Fred's entry so special to us was, well, number one, it's an online singer-songwriter contest. People were supposed to upload their videos, but instead of a video, we received a very large manila envelope titled Green Shoe Studio Singer-Songwriter Contest. Well, I was excited to see what it was and open it up, and lo and behold, it was a letter from a 96-year-old man who said, "I've written a song for my wife." He said on the, you know, in the letter that he was not a musician and that he was not actually a very good singer. In fact, on the actual envelope itself, it says, "P.S. I don't sing. I would scare people. Ha ha." So it's a letter from this 96-year-old man. He sounds like a sweet guy. But as I'm reading through the letter, I begin to realize that his wife had just passed away a month earlier. And so having known that, I started reading through the song. And he titled it Sweet Lorraine. And listening to the lyrics and the passion behind the lyrics and the letter he sent us, it was so heartwarming.
Well, after she passed away, I was just sitting in the front room one evening by myself, and just come right to me almost, and just kept humming and that, singing it, and that's how it come to write it. Just seemed like it just fit her. Yeah.
Green Shoe Studio decided to take Fred's lyrics and bring them to life. We decided to put them to professional music, professionally recorded. We wanted to have a professional singer sing on this song. You know, our mission here at Green Shoe Studio is to change our community one dream at a time. And what a better way to do it?
Well, I saw Jacob's ad in the paper about the contest that he was going to put on. So I just thought, oh, shoot, I'll just write a letter and send it all in. And never thinking I'd get an answer or something. But then he called one day, and I was surprised.
We decided we were going to do this just by reading the letter without even meeting Fred. So I called him up one day and said, "Fred, we were touched by your story. Now, it didn't meet the criteria of our singer-songwriter contest, but we're going to do something even better for you." I said, "We're going to record your song. We're going to have professionals do this. We're going to have a professional take so that, you know, it's not just lyrics anymore. It's bringing it to life." And he goes, "Oh, that's just so great, but, you know, how much is that going to cost me? I don't have any money." And I said, "Fred, you misunderstand me. We're going to do all this for free." And he began to cry on the phone and say, "Why would you do this for me?" And I told him, I said, "Fred, it's not that we are doing this for you. It's, you know, we're doing this together because music means so much to so many people. And your song touched us. And we feel like this is the best way to do this."
"Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do the good times all over again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, life only goes around once, but never again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do the good times all over again. The good times all over again, but the memories will always linger on. Oh, sweet Lorraine, the memories will always linger on.
cool. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I probably spent more time with his song than I have with most other people's songs. To be honest, I was a little nervous taking it to him. I've been a singer and a songwriter for years, but I must admit this is the first time in probably 10 years I've actually been nervous giving someone a song that we have taken, because it meant so much to him, it meant so much to me.
I'm hoping you like it.
Yeah.
And once I said, it's not done yet, but okay. I'm going to let you hear it, okay?
Yeah.
Tell me when you're ready.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, life only goes around once, but never again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. The good times, the good times, the good times, all over again. The good times, the good times, the good times, all over again. But the memories always linger on. Oh, sweet Lorraine, no, I don't want to move on. Oh, the memories always linger on. Oh, sweet Lorraine, that's why I wrote you this song. Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, life only goes around once, but never again. Oh, sweet Lorraine, I wish we could do all the good times over again. The good times, the good times, all the good times, all over again.
This is wonderful.
Good.
Just wonderful.
Good. I'm glad you like it. So glad you like it.
This is wonderful.
That was a wonderful 75 years that I just often think that kind of unreal, dreaming or something, but it was real. That's all I could say, real. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really, really miss her. Just don't see him right. Yeah, just like a dream. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. I want to encourage you to go right now to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and buy his song. We have a link there. You can go right to iTunes to be able to buy his song. Let's support Fred. My heart just melted.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. So what's up? What's up? You know, I was listening to VFN Radio, and
I just noticed it. There was just such a all over the place with your emotions and things because, you know, first I know that Chris had gotten got him a little dog for the family, mm-hmm. a cute little pug or something.
Mm-hmm. Being nice for his daughter.
Yeah,
you know?
And some reason I remember hearing something like, "I can't believe you got a dog," something like that.
And then, that wasn't me.
And then as I fast forwarded through the VFM radio segment to hear what's going on, I can't believe that he talked about a pug like that.
Exactly.
And then the next thing I hear, the next day, is like, I just had to have one. And it was like jealousy. It was jealousy. That's what it was. All the other stuff was jealousy. I want a pug. I want a pug. I want a pug. And what he really didn't want a pug. He just wanted what his brother had. You remember that old time battle stuff? So now he has one. Now he has one, and I'm just praying for the pug. You know, he's doing things like what dogs do. And do
normal
do,
functions.
Do
and do and do.
Do. At least it's little. I mean, if it was a max, it'd be like, somebody move Everest out of here. And now I understand that I was looking on the adoption papers and Mojo Samson, whatever the dog's name is, Puck, you know, is up for adoption. 25 cents, and he comes with a collar and his shots.
That's right.
No, that's. I don't know if it's true or not, but
it could be.
It could be.
Oh man!
All this, he was cute at first. Those all, and you should see him. He was cooing. I was getting pictures of this dog. I mean, he was blowing up my phone.
Yeah, it's like the same here, man.
I saw him on his lap, on his chest, on his neck. Then I saw this bag. I said, wait a minute. He is not. No. He's driving with the dog hanging out the window. No. Wait a minute. What is
bags are packed.
Yeah. And the whole thing is, it's like, it's the ugliest dog I've ever seen in my life.
I wouldn't have gone to your braids.
It was like, dang. That's some big eyes on the thing, you know? And he has it on his shoulder. He sends it pictures to us. It's sitting on his shoulder, sitting on his dash. I don't know. It's sitting all over the place. And now I think it's pooing all over the place, and he wants it to go. But it's like, sort of like, you know, say, hey, honey, we just want to have children, you know? And then you say, let's have a child. They have a child. It's like, the baby's pooing. It's like, we got to get rid of the baby. He's like, no. We can handle this. We can train this child. We don't have to get rid of it. We can conquer this. We can conquer this thing. We'll have to train them. And, there's a dog training school right close by.
There is? Yes.
How long? By your place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how? He sprayed me when I went there. Yeah, he did.
Really?
The person teaches.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was like intense.
You weren't listening.
He knew the alpha dog wasn't around. Right. But it was like rude. Anyway, so John was there with this little 2-ounce thing.
Right.
It was so funny, right? Like, yeah. Max like, bloom, 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 jumping stuff and tick tick. That was your dog.
Oh, she did it.
Coco.
She did it.
Coco, yeah.
Proud of Coco.
That was so cute, you know? And but it did the thing. It was just like, tickle, tickle, tickle. Like, I don't know. It was just so, almost like it wasn't touching the floor. It was so light. The dog was so light. And it was amazing. Totally amazing. And it's just time for you to go to school.
That's
yes.
It.
Time for you to go to school.
I put some Caesar moves on him the other day.
Oh my goodness, it's a pug.
It's a little thing.
You got to teach him while they're young.
Oh, my goodness. Is he limping or anything?
No, he's good. He's good.
He could do that, like, claw thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, he did.
Great. Now the pug is traumatized. Now,
I know, man.
Hey, work for Holly. She's very obedient.
Yeah,
dog.
We see how she said, poor the Holly.
She ran from the pug. Holly? She ran, and the pug was up to its toenail.
Not anymore.
Now, oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She had enough.
Oh, wow.
She was being gentle. Now she's like, she just looks at him. He's like, on his back.
So
that's a submissive thing.
Everybody's hating on the pug now.
Wow.
I'm just so sad.
Isn't it sad?
I mean, he was like, you know, it was totally fine. And now, you know.
Well, you know, he got comfortable. He's got an attitude now.
Oh, my God.
You got to deal with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Well, PETA, I just want to say.
Yeah, Samson, we're praying for you. Okay? Yeah.
Is that his name this week, Samson?
This week, I don't know. Tomorrow, I don't know.
I'm sure there's a few other adjectives they probably describe. Get that dog out of here!
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And joining me is Pat and John. I don't know if you've done it already, but I've already purchased Sweet Lorraine. Make sure you go and purchase it. But I got something else. I got another artist for you. If you have not heard, Aaron Leatherdale out of IHOP Kansas City. You know, Aaron was born in Prince George, British Columbia, and grew up in a Christian home. But he went on a journey and came back to God, and now his talents are laid down for the Lord. But he is a Christian artist, intercessor, and we're going to make it available for you, some samples of his music, brand new music. It's called Boot Camp that he just put out. The Book of Philippians. He's taking rap, and he's beginning to merge it into the Book of Philippians. It's just beautiful. It's really beautiful. But before you hear it, I want you to actually, I'm sure you just read Philippians this morning, but I just want to read this. This is Philippians chapter 3 that he's going to be singing about, but you got to hear it, and we're going to make it available for you where you can actually get it yourself. Finally, my brothers, this is Paul writing to the church of Philippi. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is not trouble for me to write the same things to you again. It is a safeguard for you. My preaches on it. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those who are manipulators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reason for such confidence. He doesn't do it, he goes on to say. If anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in his flesh, I have much more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for a legalistic righteousness, faultless. He says, but whatever was to my profit now, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, he goes on to say, or have already been made perfect, but I press on and take hold of that which Christ has took hold of me. And it's just a powerful, powerful song that he wrote, and I believe he just birthed out of intercession. Just got released. You can find this on the VFN Torch where you can purchase yourself. Listen, this is Aaron Leatherdale. Aaron Leatherdale. He's singing Philippians chapter 3. Listen up.
Rejoice, I tell you again, for me it's no trouble. It's not about the works you do, I hate to burst your bubble. Beware of the dogs, the false circumcision in the flesh. They put confidence, self-righteous nonsense. I glory in Christ, though this life reason for bragging. Persecuting the church, I jump on the bandwagon. Traditions of men, I followed the Torah carefully. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a Pharisee of Pharisees. But all that was gained to me, I counted as loss. That I might know his suffering, partaking in the cross. Found in him on the basis of faith, fellowship, connection. To know him and his power, both in death and resurrection. I throw it in the garbage, everything I've gained. Yesterday is gone, I know I haven't obtained. So I forget the past, can't reverse the hands of time. But I press toward the goal, laying hold of the prize.
We're no longer citizens of this life. Now we're seated, we're seated with Christ. Clothed in heavenly robes. Seated right next to his throne. We pray.
the degree that we have already obtained. Let us walk by the same rule, be of the same mind. Follow my example, you have me for a pattern. Our citizenship is in heaven, Mars, Pluto, and Saturn. Far above the Milky Way, we wait for the day when the Lord will transform this lowly body of decay to shine like the stars in the ancient constellations. Earth, sun, and the galaxies will be a new creation. Many walk, I've told you often, with tears and weeping. Enemies of the cross of Christ in darkness sleeping. Minds in the gutter, so in the flesh reap corruption. The God is the belly, glory and shame, destruction is the consequence. Mindset on this planet, earthly, sinful objective, wrong perspective. Therefore, beloved, stand fast, hold your ground. You're my brethren who I long for, my joy and my crown.
We're no longer sins in love is life. Now we're seated, with Christ, clothed in heavenly robes, seated right next to his throne. We press towards the prize for the upward call in Christ, forgetting what lies behind, choosing this new life.
Stand fast, beloved, hold your crown. You're my brethren who I long for, my joy, my crown. Stand fast, beloved, hold your crown. You're my brethren who I long for, my joy, my crown. Stand fast, beloved, hold your crown. Stand fast, beloved, hold your crown. You're my brethren who I long for, my joy, my crown.
We're no longer citizens of this life. Now we're seated, with Christ, clothed in heavenly robes, and seated right next to his throne.
You're listening to the Book of Philippians by Aaron Leatherdale. You can find out how to get this yourself by going to the VFN Torch. It'll be made available to you today on the VFN Torch. You can go there and purchase your own copy of the entire book. But just Aaron Leatherdale, I really believe that he's tapped into one of the sounds of what's going to be for this generation. And we just thank Aaron Leatherdale and support what he's doing. We need this sound. We need this sound to be loosed in the body, in the nation, and around the world. Don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com, click on The Torch, and you'll see right there. Yes, you'll see the cover of his album where you see picture of Paul thinking as he's writing right there, the Book of Philippians, Aaron Leatherdale.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.